This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to a William Hill's weekly golf podcast with myself, Dave Kellner, and the man sitting next to me this week, Mr. Mike Grenham. First of all, good afternoon, and it's good to see you, first of all.
Yes, Dave, nice to be sitting in the same room, same studio for a change. It's like the old days.
It is like the old days, and you fortunately enough won the free lunch back last week, so we're about level now, so hopefully we'll hopefully one will pop up this week. Speaking of last week, a couple of really impressive performances. We'll start off with the performance in the States from Patrick Reed. Shot three straight 63s and a little bit wobbly on Sunday perhaps, but cruised home to win win by a couple in the end, taking out the Humana Championship. We said on last week's podcast, he had to be hot with the putter to take the Humana, and he certainly was that.
He was, David, he was. Made it a little bit dull for betting purposes, didn't he? Patrick Reed by doing those three rounds of 63, which is pretty phenomenal scoring.
Yep.
So he won that one, yeah. Yeah.
Little bit disappointing to see Bill Haas drop out of the places.
I don't like to moan, but I'm going
not
to.
Not much.
Last week it was a bit one of those frustrating weeks because the 3 6th places, which is about, for each way betters, the worst it can possibly get, other than 156th.
Yeah.
Which is worse, really, if they miss the cut by 40 or something. But we'd Bill Haas that was tied 6th, Juice Luton was 6th, and my Twitter bet, David Frosch finished 6th as well, so on all of them had chances but have been placed, but no, Haas didn't really ever had a chance to win.
No, well, no
Reed,
one had a chance,
Reed
did they really?
Reed was just dominant, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
And of course, Luton got very close early doors but in Abu Dhabi, but couldn't trouble the judge either. What about your picks last week? What was the best
one for you? Not fantastic last week. Probably just best to skirt over those selections.
You've had a good
week.
Start, though, haven't you?
Yeah,
the beginning of
couple of places the first 2 weeks, and then last week, nothing. I was just hoping
Hansen
all week.
Hansen was nearly top 10.
Hansen was almost top 10. I was just hoping all week that Brendan Todd wasn't going to win in the States, and thankfully. Yeah. Patrick Reed galloped clear in that event. In the Abu Dhabi Championship, Pablo Larrazabal held off the challenge of Rory McIlroy and Phil Mickelson.
You see, that was another frustrating thing about McIlroy and it.
Yeah.
Two-shot penalty.
I know there were a couple of...
Although Mickelson backers will be thinking, how did he not win after his bush troubles?
Yeah.
His bush Tucker trial.
First of all, the McIlroy incident, one of those... stupid rules of golf, and he unfortunately JP's caddy didn't spot that he was still standing on the hazard line.
Blaming his caddy. McIlroy's fault. You're always having a go at his caddy.
I blame both caddies for this week. JP for the incident with McIlroy, and Bones for letting Phil Mickelson get under that bush and hit it right-handed rather than taking
the
drop.
Phil wants to do something, he's doing it, and McIlroy's the same, Rory's the same. That's what they're like, Dave. Yeah, that's part of their appeal, isn't it?
Impressive performance by Larrazabal, though, to hold those two guys at bay in the final round. So well done to Pablo Larrazabal.
When he gets there, Dave, he can win, can't he? He's a little bit inconsistent, Pablo, but he's building up a nice career now, and he's very likable. But a good player when he gets in contention.
Mm. Wears his heart on his sleeve, doesn't he? Very emotional.
Makes,
I like
which
that.
Which is a bit of we like that, don't we?
Let's get stuck into this week then. We've got a couple of tournaments. One of them, a Wednesday start. We'll speak about the Qatar Masters very shortly. But because it's a Wednesday start, people might be listening to the podcast on a Wednesday and only want to hear about the
We're going to be radical,
event.
Aren't we?
We're going to swap it around.
We're going doing the American first because that's on Thursday evening, UK time.
Yep.
Whereas it's a very early start for the old Qatar Masters.
Yeah, in the Farmers Insurance Open, Tiger Woods is the favourite for the event. 9-4, Tiger. Phil Mickelson, 11-1. Bill Haas is 20-1. Brant Snedeker, also 20-1. Jimmy Walker, 25s. Bubba Watson, Hunter Mahan, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, and Keegan Bradley, all 33-1. Tiger has won this event on 7 occasions in the past 15 years, and the host course, Torrey Pines, has been the venue for this event since 1968. It's important to note that the field do get to have one crack at the easier Torrey Pines North before the cut is made, and the full field spend the weekend at Torrey South. And Mike, Torrey Pines South is a real brute, a real brutal golf course, a real test for these players. Longest golf course on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, but you can score here, Dave. It's not. I hear what you're saying. It was, and the US Open here was pretty tough, but it's tougher than last week's event. But it's not going to be even par winning the event, is it? You're looking easily into double-digit figures under par, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. But then the scoring is going to be lower at Torrey Pines North, isn't it? Which sort slightly skews the figures.
Well, a couple of shots easier, yeah. I agree. But
I think the scoring average here last year was over par at Torrey Pines South for the full field. But I think it will be... I think under par will... Obviously, under par will win, and obviously it probably will be double digits under par.
Yeah, it will be, yeah, I would say so. I can't remember what it was last year, but it was certainly... it was significantly under par, wasn't it? So I hear what you're saying, and it's a challenging course. It's certainly not a resort course by any means, and but neither is it that penal at 14 under, Dave. I was padding there a little bit as I was checking the internet. Could you tell?
No, it was seamless.
Yes, I was like Gary Lineker there. On 14 under Tiger Woods was last year, and a couple of lads were 10 under. But you're right. Yeah. If you're not playing well, you can get punished. And that you're entirely right there. Mm.
The greens are pretty tough as well, Mike. Poana greens this week, and basically any putt lacking in pace will be knocked off course. That's why I think Brant Snedeker puts so well round here. Aggressive putter, and he reads the greens brilliantly on this golf course. I think length, Mike, is a factor around here as well. Length has got to be a factor, hasn't it? You look at the winners. Tiger Woods has won this tournament 7 times. John Daly is a winner here. Bubba Watson's a winner here. Nick Watney is a winner here. A lot of players with length off the tee, especially.
Yeah, Ben Crane, people like that. Mm. Or maybe not. Ben Crane won in 2010. I'm entirely with you, actually. I mean, facetious.
Yeah, and there are exceptions. Jose Muriel Olazabal wouldn't have been the longest hitter won here.
I think it's what you say is absolutely right. There's an advantage to hitting it a long way here, isn't it? But it's not absolutely impossible, obviously, for a shorter hitter to win if they play well enough. Brant Snedeker wouldn't be the longest hitter.
No,
he
wouldn't.
To
no.
be fair, I don't think so. So yeah, but you know, but joking apart, you're right. Look at the list of winners. There's a hell of a lot of long hitters in it, and guys who were contending are also quite long hitters. So I've certainly looked that way in my thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, I've just got one pick in the event pre-tournament. I will look to have a Twitter bet this week. It's a tournament that I really enjoy. So. Maybe get stuck in when the cut's made and we go into Saturday.
The last time you had a Twitter bet.
It's a long time ago, isn't it?
Jose Maria Lazabal won.
Yeah. Back in 2002. Yeah, just one pick for me, Mike.
I've
so
got
I'll,
two.
I'll let you lead off.
I've got two. I've gone for a couple of long hitters, so just to back you up, really. I think par 5 performance as well, Dave, is important this
Very.
Week. You've got to really, particularly on the south course, as you've said, you've really got to take advantage of the par 5s, which Tiger does brilliantly. And I suppose we'll come on and talk to him at the end, because I'm not picking him or Mickelson for that matter, but fear them, obviously.
Yeah, obviously,
massively. Par 5 performance important, greens and regulation don't do any harm to do that here, really. Quite hard scrambling, and obviously, as we've said, driving distance is important. So Hunter Mahan is my first pick. Not played since the Tigers event in the middle of December, so this is starting off the year for him. Where he finished 13th in that event, but he had a disaster in the second round where he shot 80 for some reason, and only finished 10 off the leaders at the end of the event. So one half decent round and he'd been in the mix. But very good on those stats that I mentioned earlier, all of the ones I've mentioned, par 5 and greens and regulation in particular, and good course form here. So I think Hunter Mahan, as a sporting each-way pick against two very, very, very strong favourites. Particularly as in the last 5 years here, Dave, he's gone 11th, 27th, 6th, 6th and 15th. So really stopped. Not troubling the judge, I suppose, for, in terms of win bets, but in terms of a niche way possibility, those couple of six in the last 3 years catch my eye. And he ended last season in reasonable heart as well. Played pretty well in the FedEx playoffs at the back end of the year. And what wouldn't have been the best, it wouldn't be a year that he would relish.
No, he won't remember that year at the end of his career, will he?
He went very close in a couple of majors, didn't he? So let's not forget that. So brilliant ball striker, and I think he plays well in this event, and I'm looking forward to a good each way run from Hunter Mahan. He'll probably finish sixth.
33-1 33-1 Hunter Mahan.
Double cowpit.
Yeah, 30. I can see that. 33-1 Mahan. Just the one pick for me pre-event. I'm going with a man that I picked a couple of weeks ago. 125-1 Roberto Castro is my selection. I think you've got to have a bet on this guy this week, Roberto Castro.
You've got to.
Got to have a bet on him. I really think it's a massive price. Experience is one thing we didn't really mention in the preliminaries when talking about this event, but it is important, isn't it, experience around here?
Yes.
Because you've got to know where to miss. Tiger Woods obviously got a fantastic record. And Roberto Castro now has a little bit of experience at the golf course, which will, I think, stand him in good stead. He finished 44th here last year, and a very respectable 33rd on debut in 2012. Unfortunately, when I tipped him a couple of weeks ago, he missed the cut in the Sony Open. But he bounced back with a 25th place finish last week. And on a ball striker's golf course, I think he's got a real shot. Last week was, I don't want to say a glorified putting contest, but putting very important last week. Not as crucial, in my opinion, this week. He did close with a 66-64 over the weekend, Roberto Castro. I say it's not as important because I think, Mike, everyone's going to miss, all the field are going to miss putts from short range on these greens. They are bumpy, they are a little bit uneven, and I think that levels up the playing field a little bit. Roberto Castro was 31st in the all-around last season.
The bumpy greens level out the playing field, don't they?
They do a little bit, yeah. That's an oxymoron, isn't it, to a certain extent? But at a venue where, as you mentioned, you must take advantage of the par fives, Roberto Castro was second in par five scoring last year, which is a massive positive. He also plays the par fours really well. And these par fours average out at about 450 yards, so you've got to play these par fours well on this golf course. I think he's an exceptional talent, Roberto Castro. I reckon anyone out there that's listening to this should have a bet at 125-1. I'm going to point each way.
Oh, you're bullish, aren't you?
Confident.
Yeah, you're right there, though, Dave. The par fours are long, aren't they? So for the shots where the shorter pairs are at a disadvantage, you know, they're playing much tougher shots in, aren't they?
Yeah, you've got, like, if you're going to go for a guy that's a shorter hitter on this golf, well, Castro's not the longest hitter. What he is an incredible ball striker. So strong with his long irons, Roberto Castro. You've got to have someone that is accurate with the long irons if you're going for a guy that's short off the tee this week.
Yeah. Fair call. I'm going for a past winner as my second pick in this event. Bubba Watson is my number two pick, my second pick. He won it here in 2011, I think it was. Has a very good record at the course as well as that win here as a 13th, a 7th and a 4th here in this event over the two courses, the North and South here at Torrey. It was his second tour win, so obviously we'll have good memories of the course. Has started 2014 in reasonable form, or should I say ended 2000. This season thing really confuses me, Dave, doesn't it? What season is
the
it?
The wraparound. I'm just going with the 2013 year, the 2014 year.
Yeah.
So ended last year strongly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the new season started the new season. Well, I don't know what you want to say. Third in Tiger's event, played really well in that, and a top 10 in the HSBC.
Yeah.
He's a cracking greens and regulation player for all of the length that Bubba has. On tour in the last few years, he's been 9th, 2nd and 5th overall on greens and regulation at the end of the year. So I'm thinking if he can hit the ball a mile this week and get it on the green in the right number, he's got a cracking chance. I think this setup suits him very well. Obviously, he's a past winner. I'm stating the obvious there, aren't I? But yeah, I'm encouraged to see that he's 33rd. You know, with three top 15s to his name in the event. Hopefully he's ready to kick on and have a really good year this year, Bubba. About time he got another W next to him.
Yeah, I agree. Bubba Watson in the market at 33-1. So a couple of guys there at 33-1. It's sometimes a misnomer, isn't it? When you think about Bubba Watson, people think about that swing and hitting the ball all over the place.
He doesn't though, does
but
he?
But he doesn't.
No. Well, even if he does off the tee, he manages to get on the green. Yeah,
precisely, because he's attacking these greens from short range, so being in the rough isn't always an issue for someone
that's
like
right,
Bubba Watson.
That's right. I think it's phenomenal, isn't it? You know, ninth, second, and fifth over the last three full seasons on tour in greens in regulation for a man who hits it that far. So tells you something, you know.
It does indeed, and I think. You similar sentiments apply to Jason Day, who I was very, very close to going for at 33-1. Hits the ball a long way off the tee. His accuracy is abysmal, really. He was 148th in driving accuracy on tour last year, but he contends in tough tournaments. He contends
in major
championships.
And
I think that's got a lot to do with the fact that he can play from the rough. He's such a good iron player that his driving accuracy, if he started getting the ball on the fairway in the from the tee, he could be a real world beater.
Jason Day could definitely. Yeah, he needs to do that though, Dave, because whatever you say, it's still a disadvantage, isn't it? It's going to cost you shots somewhere down the line in the big events if you're not getting it on the fairway.
And he's still only got one win on the PGA Tour.
Jason Day.
Yeah, Jason Day. And
so you were close to picking him.
I was very close to picking. Very close to picking Jason Day. And maybe he's ninth last year flattered him slightly as well. Closed with a 66 to jump well up the leaderboard. And I know you're a big advocate of that, aren't you? With no pressure on it.
It's easier, isn't it?
It is easier.
Really,
so maybe that's a little
bit... can be very
bit
misleading, can't it? You get a guy who can shoot a poor final round just because he's slightly fallen out of contention and gives up slightly. And another guy just going out whacking the ball around, having a bit of fun. And it can definitely mislead. The stats can lie, can't they, in that regard? Yeah, I definitely endorse that, Dave.
Before we go through other players that were close, Mike, what about Tiger Woods this week? 9-4 favourite.
He must have a chance.
Got a shot, hasn't he?
Yeah,
Is it the right price, though? I just thought it was bang on the money.
9-4. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be Mark Adsett and laying him for much short upstairs, would you, in the trading room?
No.
I think he's got an outstanding chance, obviously, stating the obvious. He's won so many times here and played very well in his own event. Well, he just got picked by Zach Johnson in that amazing kind of finale. Yeah,
incredible, wasn't it?
Look, I could understand anyone backing Tiger and Phil and no one else in this event, or even Tiger, you know, because they've both got great records here. Phil's won here a few times, obviously not quite as good as Tiger's, or not as good as Tiger, should I say. But you'd have to fear them, wouldn't you? Mm. You really would. Yeah, what do you think?
I agree, just with your sentiments, really.
Yeah.
I suppose the only thing when you come to consider backing Tiger Woods at 9-4 here, you remember last year, he was much bigger prices for this type of tournament, you know, where he'd won before. And I know he showed that he can win on again and multiple times last year on tour, last season on tour.
Yeah.
But he putted phenomenally in these events. You know, these events where he was a multiple winner.
Yep.
He just put lights out. I don't know if even he can put as well this season as he did in these events last year. Talking about the Bay Hill and so on and so forth.
Yeah, he was all of a sudden his putting was immense.
Came back, didn't it? And he's a lot shorter in these markets. He's going to be a lot shorter in these markets this season.
Because
of what he did last season in the tournaments.
Yes.
And I think from a betting perspective, you've got to take a step back and think, should I be backing him at shorter prices this season than I was at prices last season?
So you're saying
I'm saying no, because I don't know if he can put as well as he did in this type of event as he did last season. I know it didn't work out for him in major championships, but his putting in regular tour events at venues where he'd won before
was
absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. And everyone's latched onto that, of course, that he's winning.
And then he's a shorter price
subsequently,
yes.
Yeah,
sir.
No, absolutely, Dave. All of the above is true. I agree with you. So,
you can leave him out, can't you?
You can leave him out, yeah.
And he's taking a big chunk out of the market, so you're getting a better price on on players that last year you wouldn't have been getting. You wouldn't have been getting as big a price on some of the players towards the head of the betting last year you wouldn't have been getting as big a price on some of those players
Just looking at that, I've just got the leaderboard up for that Williams, what used to be the Williams Challenge. It's called the Northwestern Mutual World Challenge now, where actually Muhammad's a 30. He's actually a little bit further back than I said there. He was 16 off a lead with that 80. But just to look there, Dave, Tiger, again on a course that he loves in the past, not very long ago, is in a playoff to win and really should have probably won.
Yeah.
So whilst I hear all you're saying, there'll be people at home thinking, where's the evidence that he's not going to put well on the courses that he always has? In fact, the most recent evidence suggests that he did.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? So, because Bubba was third, he was four back, a couple of and Matt Kuchar 900. Then they pretty quickly descend down to par and low, you know. So it'll be interesting to see, won't it? I expect Tiger to be there or thereabouts, though, don't you? He's not going to be in the mix.
No, I think he'll be in the. I think he'll be in the mix, but I don't. I think from a price perspective, 9-4 is just about right.
Mickelson? What about Mickelson?
A lot of traveling.
Traveling, okay.
Yeah, I'm not bothered for Mickelson. I think I'd rather back Woods.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think on this course, yeah. Any others?
Yeah, a couple. KJ Choi, I think, is interesting here at 100-1. I think we're done with Tiger. I thought he was interesting at 100-1, plays well here, and in decent form at the moment, KJ Choi. And Graham DeLatte, we've actually completely ducked him. 40-1 he is in the betting. Or he was 40-1. He's drifted to 50s, which is interesting this morning. So I think Graham DeLatte is tailor-made for this golf course, isn't he?
He is. Has he ever played here, David?
Yeah, he's played here three times before.
Top 10 last time out, yeah. He was on my long list, actually. Mm. Yeah, no, he's a greens and reg man, isn't he? Yeah, so I can see that. Gary Woodland was close for me.
Yeah.
But not quite played well enough here for his price. Just could have done with him being a little
66-1.
Yeah, I was tempted. Yeah. Tempted at that, I have to say, because in theory, this is the kind of course that should suit him.
Yep.
But, you know, he's very good on par fives, and his greens in regulation, a bit like Bubba Watson, are surprisingly good. So Woodland was close. I might have a little bit on Ryo Ishikawa here, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he's been playing some lovely stuff, old Ryo, or young Ryo, should I say. He's about 150-1. I just think I like his chances. Mm-hmm. He was 13th here the year before last, but he's in much better form now, and there's some decent figures to his name, including a couple of very good finishes on the PGA Tour in recent months. So Ryo Ishikawa is someone that I have on my mind. I think I might even have a little save on him, to be truthful.
And what one player that I'm going to mention every time he plays this season, Jordan Spieth, 33-1.
I thought you'd pick him, actually.
I'm going to try and get it into every single podcast.
You have to try.
I mean, 33. He did miss the cut here last year, Spieth, but 33-1. Maybe not got quite enough experience around here to justify
that price at 33-1. But it hasn't stopped him before, Dave.
No, it hasn't stopped him before, and maybe people or the compilers looking into that miscut at the Sony Open a little bit too much. 33-1, but 33-1's. Just about right, isn't it?
It's very, very good player. I thought that. 33s would tempt you, I've got to be honest. Mm. Yeah, but there you go, you've surprised me. Bill Haas. Should go well. 20-1, though, too short.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering he was 28-1 in the worst field last week.
Correct.
I'll just read you Mark Adshead's thoughts quickly on this event as well. Mark Adshead says, two factors make it hard to have a bet for me before round three. First, Tiger Woods is playing at one of his favourite venues. Secondly, and more importantly, the weather. Strong winds are due on Friday and Saturday. With the two courses on the go, you really wouldn't want your player to get the tougher South course on the Friday, so he's favouring players that play the South course on the Thursday and the North course on the Friday. That's what Mark Adshead is obviously looking at. So maybe if you fancy following Mark Adshead's thoughts, have a look at the draw in this event.
No, it's not a bad policy when it's a two-course event anyway, is it?
No, because I think it might have a Twitter bet this week. Have I mentioned that?
You have mentioned that, yes.
Might have a Twitter bet. Let's have a look at the
Jose But yeah, about
that one. Let's have a look at the Qatar Masters, which starts on Wednesday evening. It's actually Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning UK time.
Wednesday morning UK time.
If you're in somewhere else,
that's it. 3:35 a.m. This tournament starts on.
That's the morning
on Wednesday morning.
No question.
No question at all about that. Some of you that don't have jobs might be getting up on on Tuesday night and be able to watch a bit
of this. Watch it live. Well, I won't be.
Henrik Stenson is the favourite here, 8-1 joint favourite, in fact, with Sergio Garcia, 8-1 Jason Duffner, 16s, along with Martin Keimer. Thomas Bjorn is 18-1 George Kutsaya and Peter Hansen both 22s. Luke Donald and Robert Carlsen 25s, and it's 28s. And bigger the rest. This isn't as high class in terms of field quality as last week, with only 10 of the top 50 in the world rankings lining up here. But this golf course in Doha, a real test, Mike. I always feel like it does test every department of a player's game here, this event in Doha, especially when the wind blows. And it's difficult to pinpoint one area that has more import than another area, because water comes into play on a number of these holes as well. And even though you can get away with it from the tee to a certain extent, it's probably, if you had to pinpoint something, a second-shot golf course.
I hear what you're saying there, but I think, yeah, again, it's a course where length of the tee is certainly no disadvantage.
Okay.
But, yeah, I get you. Greens and regulation is probably the most important stat. So a second-shot course, absolutely. But I quite like people who can get it down. I don't think accuracy off the tee is that important. I think length is.
Very similar to last week's golf course in many ways. You do see a lot of players that have played well at the Abu Dhabi Championship come into this week and replicate the Qatar Masters, don't you, if they decide to play back to back.
There was an interesting stat in the Racing Post today, Dave, that 16 of the last 16 winners had played the week before.
Is that
Masters.
Right?
Yeah, look.
Okay.
In the preceding desert that had played the week before their triumph in the preceding Desert Swing event.
That's good, because both my picks.
It's good for
played
me
last
well.
Week.
But I was amazed at that. That's a good stat there, Racing Post. And also they say that the last five champions have all started at 50-1 or better. So it's not a Fabs event.
Well, that's first, Dave. That's a negative for my pick.
Have you got Henrik Stenson?
No, I've not. I've got a guy in at 40-1. He was 50-1 yesterday though with Hills.
Well, all right.
So I'll take that. Songchai Jaidi is my first pick here. I'm going to point each way on the tie. Well done, first of all, to those that snapped up that early 50-1. Bit of value with it, Mark had said.
Well done to you for pronouncing it so well as well.
There you go. I still think he's worth a punt at 40-1. He maintains such consistency on tour, and I think this is a good setup for him as well. He was seventh in greens in regulation last week, which was pretty decent, en route to his 10th place finish, and I think that's testament to his iron play, because he only found 50% of the fairways last week in the Abu Dhabi Championship. But his form here stands up as well, or stacks up. He's got a solid look with three straight top 20s. And he's progressive at the venue. I always like that bit of progression from year to year. Finished ninth here last year. And having played unarguably the golf of his career last season on tour, despite not picking up a win, I think he's very solid in contention. I think he's a sporting each way pick at 40-1. Tongchai Jaidi. I do think he's a good bet this week on this golf course.
Okay, David, fair dues. I struggled a little bit with this event because of just a lot of players. My long list was just nearly 156 players. I think I was finding it hard to get shortened down and rule players out. So I did have quite a lot of players in contention for a pick, really. But I've gone for a couple of guys who can hit the ball a long ways. I've said that's one of the criteria that matters here. One with a bit of course form, one without. The first guy I've gone for didn't play that well last week, but had an excellent second the week before. I'm going to give Brandon Grace a go here. He was six in this event last year. I watched him in that Volvo Championship Golf Champions 2 weeks ago, and I just thought he really looked to be coming back to his best, to the form of a couple of years ago when he was winning almost every other week. A really good player, a player who I like, good temperament. If he puts well this week, I'd be very confident that he'll be there or thereabouts. Didn't really fire on all cylinders last week in Abu Dhabi, but a final round 75, a bit like, in contrast to what you just said, almost makes it look like he played worse than he did.
That's it.
I expect Brandon Grace to bounce back this week, and I'm very hopeful that he'll be in the mix.
Brandon Grace, your first pick. My second pick here, I'm going with Matthew Baldwin, the Englishman, each way at 125-1.
I thought you were a banker, but you've, in both events, you picked people I didn't. You've not picked people I expected this
week.
Yeah, but I'll tell you who I expected you to pick. I'm shocked.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very, very, very close, Tommy Fleetwood, at 50-1. It's one of those where, so occasionally I mention a player to you, and I think you might have to have a saver, and that's one though where I might have to have a saver on Tommy Fleetwood at 50-1 because this looks like a nice setup for him, especially if the wind blows.
I'm certain you pick him. It was on my mind, to be honest.
I'm going Matthew Baldwin at 125-1 as my second selection. I'll go point each way on all three of my picks this week. He led the field after the first round last week, before finishing in a tie for 19th, and in his last tournament of 2013, that rain reduced Nelson Mandela Championship in mid-December, he finished tied second. So he's clearly in pretty decent form at the moment, and he struck the ball well here last year. You look at his stats from last year, you see that 67th finish and you think, not much cop. But he did strike the ball well, but putted abysmally. I'd rather read that form as a positive than a negative, given that he played well on the golf course from tee to green. He is worth having a little look in the first round leader market as well, if you don't fancy playing him each way at 125s, because he does have a tendency to make his first round his best. That's what happened last week in the
second group out, Dave.
Second group out. Well, that is interesting then, because he did finish. He did open up with a 67 last week to lead. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, tied with two others last week, but he opened with a 65 at the Alfred Dunhill, a 64 at the BMW International last year. So his first round does have a tendency to be his best, but I get the feeling he's working his way into the European Tour competition now. Some really solid results at the back end of last season, without being spectacular. 125-1, a guy clearly in good touch, and I reckon he's worth a sporting each way bet, 125s, Matthew Baldwin.
Okay, my second pick hasn't been playing particularly well at the start of this season, but he's a player who does hit it a long way, a guy that I like a lot. And I just want to give him one last try. The price really appeals to me, even though he missed the cut in Qatar last week. Sorry, in Abu Dhabi last week. I'm going for Peter Uihlein, who, as you'll know, is a player I like a lot. Very long off the tee, seventh on driving distance stats last year on the European Tour. His greens in regulation need to be a little bit better than they have been, particularly at the start of this year. Hasn't really been hitting anywhere near enough greens. But I just I'm willing to give him another chance in this field. I just think 66-1. I look at lots and lots of the players who are shorter than him in the betting, and I just don't think they're going to be as good a player as he is.
No.
So he puts very well. So if he can just get his second shots a little bit better than they have been of late, I would expect Peter Uihlein to have a very decent week. It's not that long ago since he put up a very, very decent performance in the Nedbank, finishing top 10 on his debut there, which is a really tricky course there for newcomers. So, I like the 66-1. I'm willing to give him a try. He just edged out a couple of others. Very close call, but yes, he did.
I would have gone for Kiridek Apibanrat if he'd played, but he's withdrawn at the last minute, Appy Barnrat, so he's not in the field. But there's quotes at 125-150 about Appy Barnrat now, and I think he's a player to watch, but he's out of the field.
Yep.
Other guys that I've got noted down, Tommy Fleetwood was top of the list, and a couple of Spaniards, Rafa Cabrera Bello and Alvaro Quiroz, likely to go well this week, both underpriced.
The problem with those two, Dave, is that everyone's spotted it, haven't they? And Cabrera Bello had a really eye-catching run last week. He's a player I like a lot, but hadn't been playing that well until really encouraging form. And Quiroz is a past winner here, loves desert golf. But what price is he, Dave?
28,
that's short for the form he's been in. I'd pick them if they were double the price, but not at that price.
I think you could make a case for Larrathabal as well.
Yeah.
Going back to back. He's the sort of character where you look through his profile, he does string performances together. Mm. Goes through real purple patches, Pablo Larrathabal. And not only that, he's got the sort of character where I wouldn't expect mental letdown. He's such a bubbly, jumpy character. I'd expect it to, if anything, him to come out here really firing.
Okay.
Maybe he's another one that you can have a look at first round leader, and then maybe the weekend catches up with him or something like that. But I think 40-1 for anyone having a punt, that's a fair price as well.
Not too bad, yeah. I suppose the closest other guy that for me was Danny Willett, who doesn't have much, well, has moderate form to his name actually here, but just all his skill sets are right for this course. He hits it a long way. He's good greens and regulation man, and he's in very decent form, Willett. So I'll be watching him closely because I think he's quite a decent price this week. In fact, I can't even see where he is on the list. He's 66-1 as well, so he could easily have gone in for me. Two Argentinians who might outperform very big odds and may be worth considering for top 10 bets are Ricardo Gonzalez, who has really good course form here, really solid, consistently plays this well, and Emiliano Grillo, who I just rate quite highly. Mm. And I'm just expecting him to come to the fore very shortly. I'll be watching him at 150-1. That's a big price.
80-1 for Ricardo Gonzalez, and as you mentioned, 150s for Emiliano Grillo. As far as Mark Adsett, our compiler, is concerned, he had marked Alvaro Quiroz as a keep for William Hill. We will be under the market this week. One player he likes at big odds, Marcel Siem.
I'm with him on that,
currently,
Dave. I nearly mentioned him. Good course form as well. Yeah, I'm with him on that. What does he say? Steady form.
Yeah, and has got good course form as well. 66-1, Marcel Siem.
He can give it a good wallop. So, yeah, Siem was on my East there. In fact, there he is in Penn, Dave. Yep. He was on the shortlist.
Player you don't want to win this week.
About 12 on the Qatar event, but if I had to pick one, it would probably be Cabrero Bello.
Yeah, I'm going with Jason Day, very close to a pick. And if I don't have that saver on Fleetwood and he's in contention on Sunday, I'll have the voodoo doll out with him as well.
I'm sure you'd pick him, my old friend. I would say on the US tour, it would probably have to be Gary Woodland.
I remember you can follow us on Twitter as well, at DKeln and at M. Grenham. Keep your eyes out for that elusive Twitter bet. It has been out there, courtesy of Mr. Grenham, for the last couple of weeks.
So. I deliver.
You did deliver with Jimmy Walker a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
Delivered in both sense of the word. And we need a recap. Recap your selections.
Can we have a free lunch bet on to the Hahn against Matthew Baldwin?
in cross event free lunch bet. I was thinking about the free lunch bet. We've not really got one that matches up with the picks, have we? This week
they've got to be somewhere in the same price bracket.
I'm trying to think if there is one.
No, let's have a week.
Yeah, let's have a week.
Are we going to do the points this week? We didn't bother last week.
No, we didn't, did we? I was just about to say let's have a recap. I hold my hands up there, listeners. Shoot me now. I'm going a point each way on Roberto Castro at 125-1 in the Farmers.
I thought that'd be, come on now, you're telling everyone they must back him and you've gone a point each way.
125-1, sometimes you'd be slipping in a half point there, wouldn't you? I think you should back him at 125-1. I think this guy is incredibly talented and overpriced. You'll see later on in the year, you will not be getting prices like that about a guy like Castro.
Very good ball striker. Yeah.
And in the Qatar Masters, a point each way Tongchai Zhaidi at 40-1, and a point each way Matthew Baldwin at 125-1. In all honesty, I should probably be having more than Castro than Baldwin, because I fancy Castro
exactly
more than Baldwin.
I'm listening.
I'm not going to have you railroad me on this podcast.
This is my biggest bet ever. I'm having the same as I'm having on Matthew Baldwin later on. In the Farmers, I've got Hunter Mahan and Bubba Watson. I'm going to go a point each way on both of those 33-1 shots, albeit I do fear Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
Particularly Tiger.
You wouldn't hesitate on to suggesting anyone waits for a couple of rounds maybe and sees where Tiger is in this event.
Yeah, lots of people will be putting Tiger or filling doubles, won't they, with the other event, you know, because they should go well, really. And in the Qatar event, I'll slightly less, a point win, a half a point place on Brandon Grace and PTU line. And a couple of the outsiders I was most interested in, I'm not putting them up there, but were Grillo in the European and Ishikawa in the other one.
Good stuff. Thanks for listening to the weekly golf podcast. We will be back with more golf action next week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at D Kellner and at M Grenham. Do keep your eyes out for those Twitter bets as well. Remember, the Qatar Masters is a Wednesday start, so your bets must be on early on Wednesday morning. And the Farmers is a Thursday start, the usual Thursday start in the PGA Tour. Mike, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, and we'll be back next week. Goodbye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.